Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of KCBX and its team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, join host Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik for a conversation with Anthony Overton, the CEO of Habitat for Humanity San Luis Obispo, and Christy Anderson-Steele, Director of Operations. We're live today, and we invite you to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation. You can join the conversation and call in at 805-781-3875, or, as always, you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. And with that, let's join Mario and his guests. Over to you, Mario.
Thank you, Brad. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. My name is Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX. Many residents on the Central Coast are well aware of the housing challenges facing our communities. And today, we're going to be hearing from two local leaders on this topic about what their organization is doing to address these issues. With me in the studio are, as you've heard, Anthony Overton, our CEO of Habitat for Humanity, San Luis Obispo, and Kristen Anderson-Steele, Director of Operations for Habitat SLO. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Mario.
Yeah, thanks.
I want to talk about what experiences have shaped your commitments and how those experiences have informed your work in this field. So if you wouldn't mind starting us off, Anthony, what experiences have most shaped your approach to housing and community development?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've been on the Central Coast since 2005, and I've been lucky to be part of the community. I started with Habitat SLO 2 months ago, but prior to that, I spent 16 years in education as a teacher, a principal, and a director. And I would say that when working with kids and looking at the impacts on their education, those basic needs are like the most fundamental. If a kid doesn't have somewhere to sleep at night, can't get a meal, doesn't have that home stability, it really impacts their ability to learn. So, as I transitioned to Habitat SLO, it really was to continue that work of creating stable environments for families so they can thrive in our community.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Christy, how did you find your way to Habitat SLO? And what motivates you to do this work?
Yeah, so also, just like Anthony, I was in education as well for a couple years before I found myself in nonprofits. And I've been in the nonprofit field out here in the Central Coast for about 7 years now. And prior to Habitat, I worked in the homeless services field. And being a part of that community and seeing the needs that are really, really prevalent, I wanted to do a little bit more. So when this opportunity at Habitat SLO came up, it just felt like the right move. And what keeps me motivated is just the constant help that we're giving to people who, like Anthony said, don't have a stable place to live, and then they're able to find an affordable house that then becomes their home for future generations.
Oh, and when we're looking at housing and this, the work that you do, what are the values that guide the decisions that are made for your organization?
Yeah, we're really just trying to create strength and stability within our community. So we are always looking where we can do the greatest impact to create that situation for families and individuals so they can continue to be contributors and part of our San Luis Obispo community fabric. Maybe I'll kick it over to Christy to add to that a little bit.
No, you really hit it right on. It is that strength and stability. And like I said, the generational wealth is really important. So when someone, receives an affordable home with Habitat for Humanity, their family, their children, that becomes their home when the time comes. And that stable place to live, there's nothing quite like it, and that is something that we really focus on in our values, and that keeps pushing our team forward every single day.
And what does that look like in terms of like a regular day, or maybe a not so regular day? Mm.
Yeah, so a regular day at Habitat for Humanity is different every day, and we love that. but that's because we have more than just one program. We have quite a few different programs. So I know we'll talk about those a little bit later, but each program has its seasons almost. And so sometimes we're working on home preservation. Sometimes we're working at our restores. And sometimes we're just there making sure that we're doing... I really lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I'll just add, you know, one thing that we do at Habitat is we're a very multifaceted organization. We'll talk about all of the programs that we do, but we are really working to develop programs that just serve our community in whatever way we can around affordable home ownership. You know, so we'll talk about our ReStore. So we're a retail outlet. We're a construction company building new homes. We're a repair company working on existing homes. We are a finance company. We service mortgages and things of that nature. We're a property management company. So we stay in touch and work with all of our previous homeowners and properties as they live there and thrive in their community. So we're really just about being able to pivot and do whatever is needed for our community to maintain a supply of affordable housing. So, 'cause we know that a strong economic situation for San Luis Obispo County means people need to be able to live here too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for folks that might be interested in joining this field or doing some of the work that you either in the nonprofit industry or for something like the Habitat for Humanity Slow, what would you tell someone who's looking to do that or aspiring to be the next CEO of a similar nonprofit?
I think the first step is volunteer. Get out there. Interact with an area that you're passionate about and seek those opportunities within the organizations. I'd love to, you know, Habitat Slow is one of my favorite, but there are lots of great organizations in our county doing great work in a variety of areas. Mm-hmm. So find your passion and just get involved, get connected. And if you really love that work, they're going to scoop you up because we're all looking for high quality people that are really interested in making a difference.
Yeah. What about you, Christy?
I would echo exactly what Anthony said is one of the most important things is just getting out there and seeing where your passion lies. Because most of the work, most of the people that work in nonprofits is passion driven. We all have, I would say, very big hearts, and days can be really long sometimes because we're fighting the good fight. And so, really just figuring out where your passion lies and just discovering it and volunteering, like Anthony said, is really key in this.
And one thing about nonprofits that I'm familiar with is having a network of like partners and similar, you know, people to support each other, especially in the landscape of nonprofit funding and capacity. So I just wanted to know, like, are there any partners or collaborators that the Habitat Slow works with closely or?
Yeah. So we, with our programs, there's some nonprofits that do similar work to us, such as Ponderosa and CapSlow. They both have a version of a home preservation program. So with CapSlow, we can help them, like with their veteran program specifically, is where we're at right now. When a veteran gets housed, they're able to come to the ReStore and shop for their new place, which is really just a power of choice, because donations are really wonderful when someone is being housed for the first time. But as we all know, our home is our home, and we like to decorate it like we like it. And so to be able to come to our ReStores that do have secondhand furniture and sometimes new as well, and for them to choose that and be able to create a home out of their house is really powerful. We also partner with Echo. We have a program where when a client gets housed, they get a coupon that they can use at the ReStore for an entire year after they're housed, because saving money, and that takes time, and we're really aware of that.
Wow, cool. Mm-hmm. I was really curious because I've seen different housing programs, and it was like, are they talking to each other?
Yeah.
We try to. We probably need to do a little bit better job of it, because there's always room for growth and you know, sharing the resources around. You know, we're not in competition with each other. We're all just out here to make our community better. And so, you know, any chance for collaboration is wonderful. We also partner a lot with our city and local county governments. You know, they're essential for the work that we do as well. So I want to give them a shout out. And they're always looking to support in whatever way they can, you know, our mission and the right, and a number of other people too. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Thank you. I am so, what is it called? happy that there's an up. There's always these like stories that I hear about like how people are able to work for the home that they own. And so I wanted to know if there's like a story or maybe something close to home that you can share with our listeners about how this impacts people's lives.
Yes, I can take that one. I'm going to start crying immediately. So we recently finished 9 homes up on Vine Street in Paso Robles. Last December, they moved in. And one family in particular shared her story with us. She and her husband have a young daughter, and it was their first time never renting. And she said specifically, "I'm so happy to have a safe place for my daughter to grow up and for us to grow old in together." First generation, and it was just really, really incredible to see parents being able to just feel that pride that they are there for their kids and providing them a safe place that's their very own room. She also got to choose the color of her room, and she chose bright pink, and it was so cute. She was so happy.
That's amazing. And do you have a different story?
Yeah, I've only been with the organization for 2 months, so I'm just diving in, but you know, it's just interesting as I meet people that have been with the organization or have been impacted by the organization over time, just the pride they speak about, like about the organization and what we do. I did get to meet some homeowners the other day, just randomly. I was out on a job kind of thing and ran into some, and just how excited they were, even like they've been in their home almost 12 years. But just the pride that they took in their home, the commitment to keeping it up and wanting to do better and just be partners with Habitat. It was a really endearing story. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm looking forward to our next build and impacting more people and being part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all do amazing work.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. As we continue Central Coast Voices, our guests today are Anthony Overton, CEO of Habitat for Humanity, San Luis Obispo, and Christy Anderson Steele, Director of Operations for Habitat SLO. Habitat SLO County advances affordable home ownership and supports community members to remain safely in their homes. Their strategy includes a combination of programs and services that align toward this broader mission. I wanted to go a little bit deeper in some of the programs that you were mentioning at the beginning of our show. Christy, do you have any insight on some of those core programs that we mentioned?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about our new construction program, and that is the affordable homeownership side of our programs. You mentioned it kind of briefly, but we within that have a sweat equity component. So homeowners complete 250 hours per adult building their homes alongside volunteers and staff and construction workers. We also have our Cars for Home program, which allows someone to donate their used or old car to Habitat for Humanity. That sale then allows us to have that profit that goes towards our work here in SLO County. We also have 2 restores, and so those restores provide valuable operational costs and help for that into our organization. And then I want Anthony to kind of talk about our home preservation program that we really are working on relaunching right now.
Yeah. So, you know, after completing 9 homes at Vine Street, we are gearing up for our next project. But in the meantime, we have our home preservation program kind of relaunching. There's really 4 aspects to this program. We have our aging in place program, a critical home repair program. We call one called a brush for kindness. And then also we're looking at doing some homeowner education and maintenance education. So those are kind of the 4 pillars of that program. Aging in place is focused on, supporting seniors to stay in their home safely. Mm-hmm. The critical home repairs is looking at critical aspects of a home to make sure that it stays safe and sound, weatherization, things of that nature. We're looking at defensible space projects as well. Brush with Kindness is definitely more of the cosmetic uplift, you know, also that we want to support, whether it's cleaning up a front yard, painting a fence. Those are great projects that we like to engage in. And then our homeowner education, which is really trying to get into homes before there's problems and help educate homeowners around preventative maintenance that can help the longevity of your home before you get into more costly repairs.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work for the organization, and it's impacting so many people. I am interested in hearing more about aging in place. Mm-hmm. What does that look like in terms of like if people go through that program, what can they expect?
Yeah, so you know our aging in place program. Is rather unique because, and all of our home preservation programs are unique because they're very tailored to the needs of that particular situation. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to paint all of them with any one kind of like picture. But what we're trying to do with aging in place is come into homes and support seniors with home modifications that allow them to continue to live in their life, probably one of their lifelong homes. The stories of people having to move out of their homes because of health reasons, mobility issues, because they can't afford to put in a ramp or widen a doorway or adjust a kitchen is kind of heartbreaking. You know, when simple and sometimes not so simple fixes can extend that time for them to be able to stay in their home, give them another Christmas with their family in that childhood home, and continue to live there. With the rising costs of assisted living facilities as well, it gives those seniors that many more years to be that independent individual that they want to be. So that's a big aspect of our aging in place program. I hope that kind of answered your question.
Yeah.
I might have lost it.
Definitely. It makes sense, like how that supports the aging of the home, mm-hmm. to age with the homeowner. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that because, I mean, a lot of seniors I see like give up their property, and there's like, I mean, we just went to a living trust, mm-hmm. or living estate sale, where it was like, not that the person had passed away, but that they had to move to a different residence that was smaller or more accessible for them. Mm-hmm. And that kind of broke my heart to, I mean, their kids were there, even though they don't like live there anymore, their kids were there. And it was just kind of, they were doing like a goodbye to that house. Mm-hmm. In terms of our local seniors that you work with, are you seeing any needs emerge?
Yeah, a lot of them are those safety upgrades, and like Anthony was saying, the repairs that really help them become accessible. And so widening doorways, accessible wheelchair ramps, things of that nature really are key. But even small things that we might think are small, safety grab bars in the bathrooms or any of those things that might be small things but can really prevent a fall that causes even, you know, hospitalization or, you know, health concerns, just having those small upgrades are really quick and easy things for us to do and are very preventative.
Yeah. Something as simple as changing doorknobs from round doorknobs to levers, mm-hmm. for someone that's losing some of their dexterity or grip strength, it makes a huge difference in quality of life, mm-hmm. you know. So it's sometimes it is just the small stuff that makes the biggest difference.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. I'm also thinking about the cost of these things. You know, I know from my mom's experience that she just, when she got her hip replaced, we were looking at like, how is her insurance going to cover the seats and all this stuff and like the bathtub. And, mm-hmm. And you know, we didn't end up getting like a walk-in like bathtub, but I imagine that that's the kind of the stuff that you're mentioning.
Yeah,
absolutely. And we know a lot of our seniors are on fixed incomes, and in our area where many families are spending more than 50% of their income on just having a home. Mm-hmm. The extra cash isn't there to do these kinds of upgrades that can keep them there and ultimately might force them out of the situation if they can't get some help. And that's what we're really trying to do is provide that assistance so they can continue to live in their home as long as they would like to.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm thinking about right now is eligibility or like applications and things like that. Is there a process for people?
Yeah, so our home preservation program, which includes the aging in place program, can be, there's an initial application that you would complete on our website, habitatslow.org. And that application is going to kind of walk you through some of the basic information we need to collect, and it covers some of our eligibility. So some of our eligibility requirements for home preservation include, like, you need to have lived in your home for 2 years and intend to stay there, into the future, kind of commit to that. The collective home income level has to meet the 80% average mean income for our area, based on household size. So on the application, it spells out exactly what those numbers are, so a family can easily identify if they qualify. Mm-hmm. And then there's some other requirements just about, like, a safe environment for our volunteers and contractors to be able to go into the home, making sure that there aren't unsafe conditions. But other than that, we're pretty open to exploring any project. We can't promise we can do everything, but we will absolutely try to do as much as we can. And if we can't do it, we're going to try to hook you up with another organization that might be able to meet your need. That's always our goal.
Amazing. And then, Christy, do you want to share some more about the ReStores? Like, what would people find at a ReStore?
I would love to. I love our ReStores. So we have two ReStore locations, one in San Luis Obispo on Broad Street and one up in Paso Robles right across from the fire station downtown. And these are, I think, just one of the neatest stores in our county. I might be a little biased. but we sell, like, donated, there's furniture. I kind of think of it as like your donated DIY thrift store. Oh. So there's tile, there's doors, there's tools, hardware, doorknobs, cabinets, things like that, appliances. And so if someone owns their home and, you know, it's expensive to live a home out here, to own a home, and they want to upgrade it, but on a budget, the ReStores is where they should be shopping. You never quite know what you're going to find because most of our inventory is donated. Only a very, very small portion that we purchase is recycled paint. So you can buy recycled paint that's quote unquote new if you're looking for a specific color. But other than that, everything else is donated by our amazing community out here.
That's so cool. I'm looking forward to making a trip.
Yeah,
I do have an event that I found in looking over the things, and it's called Home Sweet Home on October 25th. You would like to share a little bit about what that is?
Yes, absolutely. So this is our first year doing this event, and it's a brunch, which we don't have enough brunches in Slo County. So we're so excited that Lone Madrone Winery up in Paso is hosting us, and it will be from 10:30 to noon. And our lovely board chair, Truett Vance, is going to be making his homemade sourdough pancakes.
Wow.
They're amazing. But it's really a great chance for folks to come out, learn more about our programs, meet other Habitat supporters, and just figure out how you can get involved with us. So you can find out more information on it and buy tickets on our website, habitatslo.org. Right now, it's $60 pre-sale, and children under 10 do eat free. That does go up at the door, though, so make sure you get those in prior to the event.
Cool. Habitatslo.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And any other things that I'm not aware of, like coming up, other events or?
Yeah. Well, I forgot to mention that our Home Sweet Home event is on October 25th, which might be good information for everyone. So end of October. some other events we have a series called Year of Cheer. And so this is really neat. Our development director, Dawn Smith, spearheaded this over a year ago now. And she partners with local breweries, wineries, restaurants that agree to donate a portion of their proceeds for that day to Habitat for Humanity. So our next one is actually this Sunday at Taco Temple in Morro Bay, which is delicious. But Dawn is there all day. And so these are really easy ways for you to come grab a drink, grab some food, and just talk to her and learn more about what we're doing. And those are, we try to do one a month, but you can find out more on our website.
Cool.
Yeah. In addition, on September 30th, we are opening our Remaker Space. So this is a DIY portion of our San Luis Obispo ReStore. And the idea is it is a place where someone can come and work on refinishing a piece of furniture, hopefully maybe they found at the ReStore, or have access to some tools that they may not otherwise have if they live in a smaller apartment, or don't necessarily have the ability to buy those tools outright. So we are excited about launching that. It's kind of a new program for us. And that is on September 30th. Again, at 4 p.m. is our grand opening, but then we'll be open during ReStore hours from that point forward. So our ReStores are open from 9 to 5, Tuesday through Sunday right now. So we would love to see everybody come in and support that cause as well.
That's cool. And I'm imagining like bringing like something with me to remake or restore.
Absolutely. ReStore. You could bring your own item, or we have lots of fun things that need some love, right in our ReStores too. And also, like I said, we have collected a variety of tools that have been donated or over time. Some people, not everybody has access to a tile saw, but we might be able to provide that for a small project, so you can redo the top of a table if that's what you're trying to do, or cut a tile for your home. So that access to tools, as well as we are working to line up volunteers and staff that can support people, knowledgeable individuals that have done similar kinds of work to help support people in those projects.
That's all exciting.
Yeah, it really is.
So much to look forward to with Hapatetsu. We're going to take a short break to hear from our team, and we will be right back on Central Coast Voices.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, pain. What causes it, old and new medications to treat it, and ways to train the mind to minimize certain kinds of pain. We talk with neurosurgeon Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. His new book is called It Doesn't Have to Hurt. We'll also hear about the accident that taught him the meaning of pain. Join us.
There are 12 people who get to vote on interest rates in this economy. 7 from the Board of Governors in Washington, 5 not.
It made sense that like each region would have like own bank that can accommodate economic conditions of that place.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the regional Federal Reserve Banks, next time on Marketplace.
Should ancient vehicles be sold, donated, recycled?
Would you like to buy my minivan?
I would not like to buy your minivan.
And what happens to all the metal and hazardous fluids? Our reporter parts with the family Vanny, who's 20 years old with 183,000 miles and...
Wasps! Oh, and Vanny!
It has wasps. The fate of Vanny on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's a look ahead today on our Thursday here on KCBX. Lots to come with Latino USA up at 2 o'clock following this program. That's followed by Fresh Air from 3 to 4, Marketplace from 4 to 4:30, and then All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30, leading to an evening of music that starts with the Road Home. Right now, let's return to Mario Espinoza-Kulik and his guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Mario.
Thanks, Brad. Welcome back to Central Coast Voices, y'all. I'm your host, Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik, and our guests are Anthony Overton, CEO of Habitat for Humanity San Luis Obispo, and Christy Anderson Steele, Director of Operations for Habitat SLO. On the Central Coast, nonprofits are working to address the persistent issues caused by lack of housing, housing insecurity, and high costs. These issues can be especially challenging for communities who are already experiencing vulnerability and uncertainty. And so, I'm just thinking about the issue of houselessness that is front and center on national media these days. But I'm also thinking about, like, how does that translate here? So if you have any sort of insight or information on how our communities are facing these barriers to safe, affordable housing, what gets in the way of people being able to live that dream?
Yeah, so we look at a variety of communities within our county that are definitely struggling to break into that home ownership, from elderly to the younger generations. And we have as the median home price continues to increase, we see more and more industries that can't break into the homeownership. So our service industries, agricultural, and what we're seeing is that those individuals are having to live outside of our area and commute mm-hmm. in, and that, you know, we want them to live within our communities and contribute to that. Yeah. So some of the barriers is just the drastic disparity between our average median income and what we see in terms of average median home price. It's almost a 10 times disparity, which really leads to a number of individuals in our community if not being able to access homeownership, and or if they can, the cost burden of owning a home is really high. And that actually is a problem even in the rental market as well. Yeah. You know, we have, in California, 1 in 5 families spend more than 50% of their take-home income on their housing. And 2 out of 5 families are spending more than 30%. And both of those are considered cost-burdened situations that really inhibit their ability to thrive in other areas or save for retirement or do those other things that are also essential for stability.
Mm-hmm. This is such an interesting conversation. I mean, I feel the need to invite our listeners to also, if you have any questions, any comments, an opinion about what we're talking about, you can call 805-781-3875 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. And we were, just talking about these barriers to housing. And Christy, did you have anything to add to that?
No, Anthony hit a lot of different points, so we can dive into those a little bit more.
Yeah. You noticed any changes in terms of our community in the region?
Yeah, I think over the years, we've just seen that the housing price increase really mm-hmm. tick up at an unsustainable rate. Coupled that with high interest rates and higher down payment requirements, home ownership is becoming harder and harder to reach. And if someone is aspiring to do that, it can take a decade of their early career to even get to a place where they can enter, mm-hmm. Which really affects the kind of traditional housing model of like a 30-year mortgage that you start when you start working, and then by the time you're close to retirement, you've got that paid off, which allows you to stay in that home under a more fixed retirement income. If you're not able to even enter into home ownership until your late 30s, early 40s, that really then impacts not only that impacts that stability you're trying to create for yourself or your family as you reach towards retirement age, because you'll still have a mortgage, and a lot of times a very costly mortgage. So that dynamic is shifting, I think, when we look at our communities, and that's affecting California widely, but definitely here in San Luis Obispo mm-hmm. County.
That's excellent insight on that issue. I mean, I'm thinking about how there's the Habitat for Humanity Slope and affordable housing and the programs that you offer. But I'm also thinking about like what separates you from these like other like real estate groups that are pitching affordable housing. For example, like I had just gotten an email for a local new housing like community that is saying like, oh, this is your income level and this is what how it works to buy a house from us. What separates your programs from other like affordable housing programs?
So we're primarily focused around that home ownership component. So there's a lot of affordable home rental programs within the county out there, which are great. They're creating stable places for people to live inside their communities, and they're absolutely essential. The only challenge with those is they're rentals. They're not working towards any equity or generational wealth that goes along mm-hmm. With what we see in like a home ownership. So our focus is entirely home ownership. So we're trying to get new families in that haven't had access to be able to break into home ownership, as well as helping keep those that are already there in their homes. And that's really that two-prong approach between new construction and our home preservation programs, as well as that homeowner education component that we're hoping to gear up here in the near future. So I think that captured that, hopefully.
I'll add a little bit to that as well, just kind of adding off of what Anthony said. a big difference for us is that we have a sweat equity component. And so when someone buys a house from Habitat for Humanity, per se, they're not just buying a house, they're building their house. And that creates a lot of empowerment for those folks. They know where their studs are because they put those studs up, and they understand the electrical components because they were there when it was happening. And so it really empowers them to just have a very close to their heart feeling with their home because they built that with their two hands. And so that's, I think, a really special thing that sets us apart as well.
Yeah. We also get to, we typically build homes in clusters. Mm-hmm. So our, you know, most of our projects are anywhere from 3 or 4 homes in a cluster to our most recent project, which was 9. So you're also creating a community of individuals that all went through a similar experience. Mm-hmm. And that we find is really important as well, to have that like support structure with your neighbors and have that camaraderie around this common experience is really impactful.
Mm-hmm. Is the work that happens often close together, or are the properties on different sites?
So they're typically very, very close. So the 9 homes on Vine Street are all clustered within within an acre lot. So they're pretty close together. It allows us to build more affordably when we put them a little bit closer together, but we also create those community hubs, which is great as well. So they're very familiar with each other. They see each other every day. They park next to each other, and they take pride in the entire site because it's their homes. It's their property.
What an amazing experience to be able to like see your neighbors through the walls before they're up.
Such a great way to say it. And like, wouldn't it be so cool if everyone, like when you move into a home, you already know your neighbors, already have a relationship with them? That just makes it so much more comfortable moving mm-hmm. into your new home, you know?
Yeah, it feels like you're literally building safe spaces.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing I want to just throw in there, because there's kind of a misconception out there that like Habitat maybe is like giving away homes. Mm-hmm. It's really not what we're doing. We are building homes in an affordable way so that these homeowners can enter into their own mortgage programs at a level that is appropriate for the amount of income that they're making, mm-hmm. So they can sustain that. So at the end of our projects, all of the homeowners do take on a mortgage. They have monthly payments. They continue to do those things. Our assistance is really, how do we build that home in a way that keeps the cost down mm-hmm. so they can afford to get into that mortgage. Mm-hmm. And we have a variety of ways that we kind of work with families to do that, whether it's sweat equity or low interest rates, as well as just donations and volunteer work to help lower labor costs. But that's a big part of our program as well, is we're not giving away homes. It's not a give a handout. It's definitely a hand up as we try to lift people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that they pull themselves up with that hand you're giving.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, kind of related to that, is like, how do you approach the like equity side of things in your work? There's like the housing equity, but like thinking about like, how do we equitably distribute these opportunities?
Yeah, so we we work through a lengthy homeowner selection process, and it is very difficult. To choose. We get lots of applications for these sites. So really working through those applications, looking for those families that are really ready for that stability, and willing to partner with us, to create that opportunity. The application system is pretty blind. So we are really just looking at like who is in the best, situation to make that next step. From maybe a rental situation that they've been in for a while and created some stability to that homeownership component. Do you want to add, Christine?
Yeah, I'll add also when it comes to selection, not every home that Habitat builds is the same. So some homes, like the ones that we just built on Vine Street, were really geared towards like a family home. When we were looking at applications, we were kind of looking, it was a 3-bedroom home. So we want to house families in this project, but our next project may be more focused on seniors or veterans or, you know, something along those lines. So we do really just like Anthony said, we have an open door policy, and anyone is encouraged to apply. And then it is blind. We really just focus on those numbers and keep it a little bit black and white. And then from there, then we get to meet them. Then we have that little bit more of a human element to it.
Yeah. And I just wanted to know, like, after the project is complete, mm-hmm. are there any services or support that is offered or in partnership with the residents of those new homes?
Yes. Yeah. So our Habitat Slow team also gets to know the homeowners during their build. And so we create a relationship with them. And a lot of times it's a phone call of, how do I do this? My door handle just broke off. And it's, you know, a reminder of, okay, so here are the resources on how to do this. And why don't you go talk to this person at this store? They can definitely help you. So it's once they own their home, like Anthony said, they have a mortgage, like it's their home. And we're here to support. But after it's their home, we're more here to guide and educate, which kind of speaks to our new program of, you know, homeowner maintenance education, because it's hard to own a home. And as someone who's always rented, I hear about what my parents deal with. And I'm like, I don't know how I could do that. Yeah. But someday you have to learn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in that process. Of
yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. Like, we pay thousands of dollars or we need to learn how to, like, put a hole in our ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
but I think that's definitely a challenge for our emerging homeowner folks that are aspiring to own a home is mm-hmm. also just, like, the it's a bit intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's huge benefits, like that home equity and capturing your wealth as you go along, you know, as you're paying on your mortgage. But the ugly side can be those repair costs and keeping up a home. And yeah. we really do like to try to step in and just support our families wherever we can. And Christy hit it on the head. It's that homeowner education, and it's prevention mm-hmm. is way better than intervention. Yeah, the more you can do routine home maintenance to keep the big stuff from happening saves you so much money in the long run. But if you haven't experienced homeownership, or you're not coming from a family that where your family's ever even owned a home, you may not even have an understanding of what that takes.
Oh yeah, I mean, we bought a house in that was from 1954, and so there were a few things that we didn't know about, and that was like, and that wasn't told to us. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like the main line needed to be switched in your sewage, and you have to clean out your attic from, like, and if you want to install this, but like literal basic things like water access. So I think I'm just like appreciative of the stuff that you're talking about, because there's no surprises.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And another part with our new home construction, as well as our home repair program, we're always trying to make sure that we're putting in the most, you know, sustainable setups that we possibly can. So whether it's solar panels, high efficiency appliances, mm-hmm. Thinking about those environmental things, window quality, all of those things are important to us as well, because we want to make sure that we're setting up our homeowners for success for the entire life of that home, not just for the immediate.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. What's your vision for, like, I know the work that you do is amazing, but do you have a vision for what housing should look like on the Central Coast, affordable and high quality housing on the Central Coast should look like?
We are just trying, from my vision, it's like we just want everyone to have a safe place to live mm-hmm. and somewhere that they feel comfortable and somewhere that they feel at home and that's safe and secure and stable. That might be a big vision, but I think it shouldn't be a big vision. It should be a normality because everyone deserves a safe place to call home.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a really hard one to answer because there's such a spectrum of need mm-hmm. and people are at such a variety of places. And we just feel that we're one part of a larger ecosystem of people trying to tackle this challenge of affordable and high quality housing. Each of these programs has a place, whether it's homeless services trying to work to help individuals get off the streets and into safe places, to affordable rentals, to that are near and part of their communities and schools, to what we're trying to do with home ownership, where people are taking that next step and hopefully lifting up not only themselves but their families for generations to come. Mm-hmm. I think if I was going to say what is my vision, is just a community that believes that everybody has a decent and safe place to live. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good place to start. It's just that we know that by lifting up these individuals, we strengthen our economy, we strengthen our community. It's you know, rising tides lift all ships, and the more we can get people's basic needs met, food, shelter, the strength of our community will follow.
Mm-hmm. I'm Dr. Mario Spinoza-Kulik with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's Central Coast Voices and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It'll be available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. You can also find this episode and all of our past shows by searching Central Coast Voices wherever you get your podcasts. You can learn more about Habitat for Humanity and their events and programs, like the Habitat Restores, by visiting their website at habitatslow.org or following on Instagram and Facebook at habitatslow. Returning to our guests, we have with us in studio Anthony Overton, CEO of Habitat for Humanity San Luis Obispo, and Christy Anderson Steele, Director of Operations for Habitat SLO. We're wrapping up now, but I'd like to consider how our listeners and the people who are listening can put what we've discussed into action. Mm-hmm. So what are the most impactful ways individuals, families, and groups can get involved right now?
Well, there are so many ways, and there's a way for everyone, regardless of how busy you may be. For some folks, advocacy is huge. Like, go to a city council meeting, go to a county board of supervisors meeting, and just stand up and raise your hand and advocate for affordable housing in SLO County. Also, you can volunteer with us. Go to our Restores. We're always looking for volunteers there. Or simply sign up to get our e-newsletters, because that allows you to really see what we're doing and other ways that you can be involved. So you can do that at our website, habitatslo.org.
Thank you, Christy.
Yeah. Yeah. Another way groups can get involved is we do have a Playhouse program. Our Playhouse program is we build these playhouses, and companies and corporations and organizations can sponsor a playhouse, and we bring that playhouse to their place and do a like team building activity. We paint it and assemble it and get it all ready to go, and then that playhouse then goes to a family. So then a kid gets a place to call their own and bring some joy to their lives, and it's a great opportunity and experience for a team just to spend some time together in on an afternoon to help shape one of these playhouses. And often we're able to pick the families ahead of time, mm-hmm. and decorate them to the requests of the children that they're going to benefit. It's another great way to get involved with our organization, and kind of a one day thing, but it goes a long ways for a kid in our community.
Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. The kid will get like a custom playhouse by their design.
Yes. Pretty much.
That's so cool.
There's been dinosaurs. There's been mermaids. It's so neat.
I feel like more workplaces should be doing team building activities like
yes.
that. And in the next few months, is there any emerging needs? I know you have those different programs. If you are events that are coming up, if you'd like to remind our guests, and if you need any volunteers for that.
Yeah, I think the biggest one is we are always looking for volunteers in our Restores. We have amazing staffs that work so hard, and they're really hustling and bustling to keep those stores in great condition and accessible for our customers, but we really value our volunteers that work in those stores that also help customers and help keep things organized. Mm-hmm. In addition, we have our Remaker Space launch on September 30th once again, and we are looking for particularly knowledgeable volunteers that are interested in coming and donating time and helping others do some of those refurbished projects, mm-hmm. That would be a great way to volunteer with our organization. And then if you are an individual that has some construction, landscaping, or any of those kinds of experiences, we are always working to build our repertoire of individuals that can go and help us with our home preservation and new construction. And I should say, anyone can help with those projects.
Absolutely.
We'll find a place for anyone, but we're always also looking for those skilled volunteers that can help be leaders amongst our volunteers to help tackle those things.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then for the restores, what about for like donors? Is there like a donation period, or how do we do that, Christy?
Yes. So if you go to our website and click on restores, you can find all of the information there. But we have a really beautiful donation portal now where people can upload photos of the items, and we offer a pickup service. So if you have a giant couch that you really don't want to get into your truck, you just submit it on our donation portal and we'll approve it, set up a time, and we'll come get it for you. So there's no barriers when it comes to donating to the restore. If you do just want to stop by and drop off some small tools, we encourage you just to call beforehand and let our staff know you're on your way and what you have. But it can be anything. Just be really creative. So if you have a really funky thing, you're like, I don't know what to do with this, call the restore, because we probably want it.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw out there, I so often see you'll maybe have done a recent home renovation project, and you'll have some leftover materials, and often those leftover materials end up in the dumpster, but they have great uses. So we love to also receive those materials as well. If you've got a couple extra boxes of tile, bring them on in. Mm-hmm. We love to find them a new home. Little odds and ends, whether it's electrical, plumbing, fixtures, handles, like whatever that may be. And it doesn't even have to be the stuff you didn't use. It could be the stuff you took out. Mm-hmm. We encourage people to maybe take a little more care as they're pulling old things out of their homes, because it may be something that would be perfect for someone else's home, and they can donate that with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christy, you mentioned earlier about now I'm having a brain thing. it was related to what you were just talking about, Anthony.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there were the
waste diversions.
Waste diversions, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
What are those?
Yeah, so and that's another huge portion of what we believe that our restores bring to our community, is it keeps materials out of our landfills. Mm-hmm. Especially anything that could have a second life in a project in someone's home. We want to repurpose those things versus just sending them off to the landfill. Mm-hmm. And reducing that waste is important to us. So it's that definitely recycle and reuse mentality.
Absolutely.
Like the recycled paints.
Yes.
That's what I was getting towards.
Oh, yes.
Would that be like if somebody didn't use the entire paint thing that they bought at whatever mm-hmm. store, they could donate that?
Yes, they can donate that to either restore. And what's really cool is the recycled paint that we receive actually goes to Visions Paint, and they use that paint to make new paint.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's like a full, you see the recycle wheel in your head? It's a full recycle wheel.
Yeah, that's cool. I feel mm-hmm. like the life cycle of a paint.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
And then in terms of the actions that people can take that have been listening to us on this show, what do you think is one thing that folks can do after hearing today's conversation?
I would say share this with someone else. Share the word. Share about our work. And if you know someone, a senior, a friend, someone who owns their home and needs some support, prevention is key. And so if they're almost in need of a grab bar, have them apply now for our home preservation program. If you know it, just share it. Share it with your friends, your family, everyone you can.
Yeah.
How about you, Anthony? I'd say just get connected with us. Follow us on our social media. Come out for a Year of Cheer event. We have them all over the county, and mm-hmm. they're a lot of fun. Learn a little bit more about and just get to know our programs a little bit more. And of course, if you can, any sort of donation, no matter how small, is important to our cause. It allows us to continue to do the great work we do here in the county and supporting affordable home ownership in San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm.
And Christy, can you remind us again, please, about the Home Sweet Home event?
Absolutely. Our Home Sweet Home event is October 25th at Lone Madrone Winery. It is a brunch, which is so much fun in our area. Sourdough pancakes by our board chair. $60 pre-ticket, but $70 at the door. So make sure you buy it beforehand on our website. And kids 10 and under do eat free. So come on by. It's a great way to learn about our programs, like Anthony said, and just meet our team and see maybe how you can get involved.
And anything else that you'd like to share that we haven't covered today?
Just remember, we've got those ReStore locations both in Paso Robles on 9th Street across from the fire station, as well as in San Luis Obispo on Broad Street. You know, swing on by and see. We may have that extra special thing you need for your project. Come visit us before maybe visiting that big box store. You never know what kind of gem you'll find there. Mm-hmm. And also just that if you have something that can be donated, please reach out to us. We would love to come get that from you so we can find a new home for it.
And your hours one more time?
9 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday. Sorry, Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5. So we got that one weekend day for the weekend warriors, as well as the weekday.
Cool. And any last words for our listeners, Christy?
Yeah, we would just love to see you get involved. So go to our social media. Colleen, our marketing gal, just does a great job. So that's a wonderful place for you to find out what's going on and how you can get involved. So Instagram and Facebook at Habitat SLO. Sign up for our emails, and just we would love to meet you and partner with you. So yeah.
I appreciate you both for being here and sharing this knowledge with our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Dr. Mario.
And we hope that you will find the time to tune into us next time on Central Coast Voices on Thursday, September 10th at 1 p.m. with our host, Fred Monroe, and his guests from First 5 San Luis Obispo County. Central Coast Voices is co-produced by the show's hosts in collaboration with KCBX. We depend on folks like you to continue these programs. So please donate today or become a member with your monthly donation online at www.kcbx.org. I'm your host, Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik. Thanks for joining us today.